Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I wondered if Nico Medved's name would be amongst this conversation. Kentucky might be too big of a jump for Nico there.
Yeah. I would think so.
But what if Nate Oates does get that gig?
Oh, you almost gave Zach a heart attack.
We'll jump on here. We'll have a conversation.
Is it St. Patrick's Day today? Holy cow. A lot of green on over there, Phil, with Zach. Got the green shirt on. You going to talk or what? Let's go, baby.
Yeah, you're just laughing.
Right, I know.
My man's all about money now. He's all about money.
Yeah, all that green shirt, too.
The shirt's nice and pricey.
Did you go shopping yesterday?
Like, what happened?
I've never seen that green shirt.
You want to know what? St. Patrick's Day rolled around, and I realized I did not have a green shirt.
That was it? Really?
I actually want a green shirt. So, yeah, I was at the mall this weekend and got a new shirt.
Okay. And a hat?
I do have a new hat.
There you go.
And a new pair of jeans.
Wobble,
it's like the first day of school.
How you guys doing?
Doing good. Why'd you look at me so crazy about Nico?
Because you suggested Nico Hartford to Kentucky jump.
No, I said that's too big of a jump.
Initially I thought you were like, Nico Medved, that's probably too big of a jump.
You said probably.
Okay.
I'm telling you it is.
If Nate Oates goes to Kentucky, right, then does Alabama become the jump for Nico Medved? Mountain West to SEC.
Man, it's a big jump.
Especially with the way they've been playing here lately. Like, if they were that team before Nate Oates took over, possibly, but probably not going to see that happen, right?
Mm. It's a big jump. You know what job I thought he was up for is, goodness gracious, this is 2 weeks ago, right after the tournament, the job that
Oklahoma State,
that Nico Medved was up for, Oklahoma State.
There you go.
That's more of like a big boy target for him. He needed to win just a little bit more in the tournament. Just needed to win
It's crazy how that works out. If you win, if you get hot there in the tournament, next thing you know, you're the best coach ever, and you can make that jump. You know, we all saw like Shaka Smart. And then now what he's done, and you go from VCU or whatever, you go to Texas, then you go from Texas back to, Marquette. So it's all about, did you get to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, or you made it to the Final Four? Now you're the hottest thing ever, and you can make that jump. But it all comes down to the March Madness.
Yes, and it's super fickle. It's super fickle, and it's something that you can sell to your fan base. Whether you won one game in the tournament or two, and you were in the Sweet 16, selling that to an alumni and fan base to contribute or double down on contributions, for the collective and all this stuff. It's super fickle. And actually, Josh, I'm going to circle back to something that you guys were talking about last week. It was ahead of the, I think it was Elite Eight when it was a game that Tennessee got knocked out, and you guys were talking about Dalton Connect.
Yeah.
And Stoke, you asked, you said, hey, could that guy play in the NBA? And I forget the way you said it, Josh. Like, he's got a shot. He's going to be a first-round draft pick. And he's got a shot to be a lottery pick.
Mm.
He is so long, and his floor is such, combined with what you're hearing, is like the worst draft in years. I don't know if you guys have seen some of that commentary.
Oh, you're saying this year he's a top 10er this year.
Yeah, he's got a shot to be a lottery pick this year. He is coming out. He could go into the top 10 because of two things. His floor is so high and just how bad this draft class is. You're hearing people say this is the worst NBA draft in 20 years.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
He's got a shot, though. Like, he's got an NBA shot.
He does.
You look at guys like Klay and how quick he can get the ball off. This guy, I'm not comparing him to Klay, but he shoots it like that, and he can make those tough, difficult shots. So he's got a game. He's got an NBA game.
He does. And how about this? This is wild in the NBA, and this just came to me because we were sharing this maybe 2 weeks ago. If you look at the NBA in the last 3 years, the top 300 shots taken on an NBA court. I know this is a little bit in the weeds, but it's worth sharing. The top 300 shots over the last 3 years in the NBA, and there's little dots,
little tracking things.
Every single one of the top 300 is a three or in the paint.
What does a top 300 mean?
So like the number one most taken NBA shot is like a corner three.
Gotcha.
Then it's like a wing three.
Yeah.
And then it's like 1 foot away from a wing three. And if you just dot it like a target practice, and you take a look at the top 300 shots taken over the last 3 years, there is not one red bullet point.
Wow.
That's not in the paint or a three.
Mm.
Think about how much the game has changed. And I think a Dalton Connect, it spurred a thought because he has a great mid-range jump shot. Mm-hmm. He can rise up on guys quick.
So consistent.
And you're an outlier. Like, you stand out so much if you have that part of your
There's team. Only a couple guys that are allowed to take them on a regular basis. It's like Kawhi, Jamal.
Right.
It's like you. DeMar DeRozan's a wasted shot. DeMar DeRozan's
a wasted shot. Like, either take the darn three or get or have the layup, you know, in the paint type of shot. Why be 2 feet inside the 3-point line?
Yeah.
You know, all you're doing is costing yourself a point, and that's if you're going to make that shot.
Right. But what about from 14 feet? You know what I mean?
It's like, you got to be like, closer or further. One or the other.
And that's what coaches tell you. And you literally have to build a profile to be allowed to take a mid-range shot.
That's wild.
Okay, let's get down to business. Real talk here. All righty? For some real talk. Rocky's talk. Did you buy out? Did you tap out yet?
Yeah.
Did you tap out? I heard you talking last week, and we've been on the same text, you said you couldn't live with yourself if you did it before the home opener.
Yes.
Well, we've seen the home opener.
Oh, the home opener was lit.
Right.
Well, yeah. Did you hear the home opener? Did you hear on Friday?
So, yeah, we're on the air on Friday. We go to break.
Oh, as the game was going
McMahon
on.
Ryan McMahon hits a walk-off shot.
Oh, my God.
Grand slam.
Right.
Like, arguably the greatest home opener moment of all time.
Top three, and it's not three.
But we came back from our break, and we're so hyped up in the moment. We got people all around us, and we're like, imagine being the show that's rooting for the Braves.
Imagine rooting for the Orioles. We'll never turn our back. He said, you know what, Phil? There's been a lot of talk about people adopting teams. And then the walk-off goes on. And he says, we're not adopting no damn team.
Well, coming here on Monday.
How you feel now? Ooh. How you feel now about
like
that
waking up on waking up on a Saturday morning after Friday night.
Any thought of revisiting the cash out? Where are you at on the cash out today?
I'm looking for a way out.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a way out.
Well, it looked like you have a way out. $50
Yes.
Which I think is more than fair right now. Like, I feel like I would be fair.
Yes.
It would be at least a hundo. You got a $200 season long bet with Bearcat. Yeah. I cashed out at 35. It would be at least 100. If you don't take it now, the next one after this series is probably going to be 75.
And yeah.
Like, why do you want to ride with that baseball team?
What was your number?
The $200 bet.
No,
59.5.
Oh, 59.5.
So that's not going to happen.
They are way behind the eight ball.
They are way behind the eight ball.
I don't know.
It's probably time. Speaking of bets, what do you guys like tonight before you get out of here? National championship.
I would take the points in Purdue.
It's about seven.
Seven and a half, just because it's the national championship game. I mean, that's a lot of points. So I would just take the points and ride with Purdue.
I'd ride with UConn. They're so dang good.
Yeah.
They're the South Carolina of this side of the bracket. They're just like better than everybody else.
Yeah.
You don't have enough horses to hang with UConn, so I would lay the points.
You know what my favorite bet is tonight?
What is it?
Man, the public is hammering the over. They think this is going to be a high-scoring game. 7 out of every 10 people that is betting the game, 7 out of every 10 humans who are betting the game are betting the over. 7 out of every $10 being bet is being bet on the under.
Oh,
that is professional money. This is pros versus Joes tonight. Now, that doesn't ensure there's no such thing as a lock. It's my least favorite word.
Yeah.
But I go logic over lock.
Right.
The logic, if you follow trends like that over a long period of time, typically the guys who are pros at it,
there's a reason.
Yeah.
They're betting under then, right?
They're betting the under. And I love betting unders in college championship games. Young men get tight.
Yep.
Rather than pull up three, now it's got a real consequence. Maybe let's pull it out and run a set. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, let's get a touch inside. It's like, and I just traditionally. So when
maybe
those,
not as many fouls.
You let them play
a little bit more.
Yes,
right.
Yes. Yes. So can't wait for tonight. We'll give our prediction a little bit later in the show.
Real quick question for you guys.
Yes.
That screen Friday night. Call it or don't call it in the Iowa UConn game.
You don't call.
a foul like that at the end of the game. You just don't do it. You let these women play. You let the men play. This is what we came to see. We came to see that last second shot, that last second moment to make you the greatest to ever do it kind of thing.
Man, we've been arguing about this as sports fans for generations.
Yeah.
I thought it was clearly a foul.
Oh,
I did.
Same, dude.
And then you take a look at the different angles, and it's just like, oh,
it wasn't that bad screen. In that moment to call it. No. Like with 3 seconds left, I got to see like an elbow to the grill.
Yes,
like,
she kind of did
have a little chicken wing.
She was setting
with
up.
With 5 minutes to go, okay, 3 point something left. Come on, you man. I want to see Paige come up and try to fire that three in that moment. It's like, okay, I understand. Like by the letter of the law, yeah, probably a foul. But it's the semifinals, final 40. Right. Chase the finals, let him play.
You can't hit that cute little girl like that.
You can't hit that cute little girl
That's what it looked like.
fun conversation. And by the way, man, and you know, if we're arguing over a call 3 days later, just how far women's sports have come. If before Josh gets out of here, say, but before we go, like, it's Monday, the game was Friday, got to ask you about this big topic.
Yeah.
Really, kind of speaks for itself in terms of the interest, and we will circle back to that a little bit later on because the numbers are shocking from over the weekend. But in the meantime, it's the final week of the Nuggets season, and just things might be coming together in the nick of time. That's where we'll start coming up next. Happy Monday afternoon. What is going to be a beautiful week?
Beautiful.
In Denver, Colorado, in Colorado in general, this entire region. Although not a great weekend for a lot of folks around here with just how bad the wind was in certain portions of the state that knocked out power to so many people.
I know, man.
We were just talking to Josh in between the commercial break, and it's interesting, man. Like so many other things in life, you just stop thinking about stuff because it's there every single day. You take it for granted, and the moment it gets taken away, life is on hold. And
I know.
Electricity is one of those things.
It's crazy, man. You know, fortunately, we didn't have to deal with that. I know you didn't have to deal with it. I don't think Drew did as well or KJ. So thank God for that. But if we had to deal with it, no matter what, Zach, I was going to go on a date regardless. My son was just going to have to be cold at the house with no power.
Layer up.
And Hermes Worldwide Transportation.
Shout out.
All right. Shout out to them. We use them.
Yeah, they took care of us on
Friday.
It's
a limo service. But not only do they do limos, okay? They have Mercedes. They have the big Cadillacs.
Yeah.
They can have buses. They have everything, man. But my wife and I was on a date, and they opened, you know, the driver opened the door for us, and there was a bunch of flowers sitting there for my wife.
Very nice.
And we couldn't do champagne because she's pregnant, so we did sparkling water.
Okay.
White grape sparkling water, which
was
good.
And love it.
We just had a blast, man. So shout out to Jorge, who is the owner, and he started this company, Zach, with only one car. And now he's nationwide.
Wow. Yeah. Good for him, man.
Yeah, homegrown, man. So it was a great experience. If you ever get a chance, man, you want to take your wife out, do it, man.
I absolutely love it. We'll keep that in mind. Glad you guys had a great night. We had a great day and night on Friday. That was just a hilariously fun way to spend a Friday.
Yeah.
At El Patio Rooftop Denver across the street from Coors Field. I mean, goodness gracious. We met with so many people. We're able to hang out after and, you know, kick it for a little bit before retreating on a Friday night. So shout out all the listeners who made us feel like $1 million. That was just a rare day, fun day, one that I'll remember for quite a while.
Yeah, it was fun, man. It was fun getting out there, seeing all our listeners out there. And it just makes us feel good, makes us feel like, you know, validate that we're doing a good job because we're getting feedback back. We're getting people to come out and tell us we're doing a good job, but also critiquing us, which that's what we want.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm excited where we're going, where our journey is, but it was great to be out there.
It was, man. It was. So shout out El Patio. Looking ahead here, Phil, it's the final week of the Denver Nuggets season.
Mm.
This is it. This is it. When we come in here 7 days from now, it's a wrap. The last game will have been played on Sunday night, and we'll be looking at, you know, some play in action during the week. And I mean, later next week, we're talking about the Nuggets kicking off the playoffs, and I can't believe it's here. And what a welcome sight Saved by the Bell here with Jamal Murray back into the fold.
Yes.
With just five games left at the time he came back. So nice to see him in action in a Nuggets uniform for the first time in a while.
Man, it was like, you know when you're just excited to see a player and you know what he can do, but he's been out for so long, you're like, what is he going to do? You know, is he going to come back the same? Is he going to be timid? But it was good to have Jamal back in the lineup. It was good to see Jamal shooting the threes and moving around. I was really focused on how he moved around.
Sure.
Right? Was he gimping? Was he limping a little bit? Was it, you know, for the knee, the shin splints or the ankle? But he looked fine to me. Like he looked fine. He looked well rested. Hopefully he feels good today, and then tomorrow see what they do.
Yeah, and that's the thing. How do you feel the next day? How do you feel 2 days later? Are you able to get it back to zero, then build it back up again?
Yeah.
I think there was a thought that after warm-ups that he wasn't going to go, that it wasn't like a great warm-up.
Mm.
He's on a minute restriction. He played even less than that. 21 minutes, scored 16 points, handed out six helpers, and then Jokic, you know, in addition to Jamal, just so good seeing those guys back out there, Batman and Robin. Jokic goes for another triple-double. Please don't ever trick yourself or fool yourself into thinking that this is normal. He is...
He makes it look so easy, Zach.
He really does,
so
man.
So easy. And it doesn't have to just be a bunch of scoring. You look up and my man has 12 rebounds or 13 assists. And you're like, what? Where did this come from?
Yeah. And he didn't shoot it a lot at all. I think he took just 13 total shots in the game. Let me just double check that really quick. And I think that's minorly important, and it's not important, but it's minor because, okay, yeah, he did. Because he took, and I said this last week, when they played the Spurs, he took like 32 shots against Wemby.
Yeah, he did.
And 13 of them were in the first quarter. And I remember watching the game like, 13 shots in the first quarter. He shoots this many times in some games, and then the following week he takes 13 total shots but finishes with 19 points and 14 rebounds, 11 assists, and he put together another triple-double packed inside of just three quarters, Phil. This is the 47th time in his career that he has a triple-double in three quarters.
Now, does this prove that Jokic is calculated on who he's playing and what he does, right? There's some games where, like you said, he's going to shoot 30 times a game, and then there's other times where it's like, I'm only going to shoot 13, or maybe I'm not going to shoot at all.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder what goes through his head and why he does it.
Yes.
Obviously, there's a reason.
Yes.
Right? There's always a reason to the madness, whether it's because I want to get my teammates involved, whether it's because I talked to Malone, and this is kind of what we want to see out there because playoffs are around the corner, and I need to see who else is going to be out here with us during the lineups when we start to rotate different players. It's just interesting to see why he decides to do things when he does it.
No, it's a fascinating question, and it's almost like the depths of like space or like the furthest point in like the ocean,
yeah.
Mariana Trench. It's like we just don't know what's out there.
Get it.
We just don't know what's down there.
And with aliens.
And with Jokic, it's like sometimes there's just no explanation.
It's like I do it just because I want to do it.
Yeah. And I think that some games it's totally and for years I've said this, like Jokic is like water. He's going to move in the path of least resistance. If you take away this, if you block this off, I'm just going to go over here. If you do a block over that, I'll just go over here. And sometimes I think he moves like that during the course of a game. And then other games, I do believe he comes in with some sort of mindset of this is how things are going to go tonight. And with the San Antonio example last week where he took over 30 shots, it may be like I know this group pretty well. This group is not up for this game.
Yeah.
And I am going to take this bull by the horns. Or it's nothing to do with that of, who's this Victor Wembanyama guy? I want to see how long it takes me.
I'm thinking it's like that.
Comfortable to get shots off against a 7'4".
That's
specimen.
Kind of where I'm going with it. It's like, this is an obstacle for me. I want to overcome it. Also, I know with someone like Wemby is, he's going to be great in a couple years, and I need to figure out ways to get around him right now. Why not do it, right? We know we're going to win the game. They're not a very good team. I can shoot the lights out. And it's like nobody's going to say anything, right? Because you're the best player to play.
Right.
But also, it's not like you do it all the time.
Right.
So yeah. Obviously you're doing it for a reason.
Yeah, it's different, man. It's different. It's a funny thing to keep track of. And sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. Sometimes there might be. That's Nikola Jokic. I want to talk about the bench a little bit later in the show because they were, I mean, holy smokes, 58 points coming off the bench. Reggie Jackson settling back into his role. I think there's a handful of reasons to be optimistic the week before the playoffs start, and we'll circle back to some of those reasons and how important these games are this week to secure the number one seed just a little bit later in the show. But in the meantime, while things may be coming together for the Nuggets heading into the playoffs, one massive question on the Avs front may be blocking, dare I say, eclipsing that same optimism, and we'll dive into that coming up next. While things may be coming together for the Denver Nuggets heading into the playoffs, one massive question on the Avs front may be blocking, or dare I say, eclipsing that same optimism.
I like it. I like it. You were all scared. You thought I was going to go pitch black over here.
I'm like staring at it. Like, why do I have a migraine?
So if you stare at it, doesn't it make you blind? Is it supposed to make you blind?
I don't think like instantaneously, but okay. I know it's not good. Not good. No, seriously, the last time that we got one, and it was like, I want to say it was like 16 or 17 or somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, 2017. I do remember, like, I'm like, all right, I'm only going to look up at it for a second because I just got to see. No, I don't have the glasses.
You're that guy.
Walgreens was out of them. And I'm like, let me just take a quick peek. And like, look up, like, damn, okay, something's definitely going on up there. And then it felt like my brain got put in a microwave. It's like, no joke, I like literally got a headache within the first 2 to 3 minutes. But I saw kids outside playing outside. I don't know if that... If it's that bad, should the kids be outside having recess? I don't know.
I, you know what? I have to do more research on it because I just thought that you're supposed to go out there, supposed to look, it's at home, and it'd be done. Obviously, it gives you migraines, or it could just because you're dramatic. And you made your brain say, okay, now my brain hurts.
No joke, man. Well, go try it during the break.
I'm good.
Let us know how it works.
Oh, man.
It is the eclipse day. Here in Colorado, it's like we're getting like... Anywhere I read from like 45% to 65% coverage, depending on where you're at in the state. It's interesting. I'm not like totally enthralled and fascinated by it, like other stuff in nature. So it's not an anti-nature thing.
Yeah.
This a big deal for you today?
You know, not as big as it probably should be. I guess if I was really into it, you know, I would have canceled work today and went out there.
And just stood outside.
Got my chair and just looked outside all day.
Yeah. All right. Well, do your research and let me know.
I will.
And you come back with your research on the eclipse.
You do your research.
All right. The Avalanche have lost two straight. All right. And it's not just losing. I mean, you're talking getting pounded, Phil.
Yeah.
Getting pounded. 6-2. Lopsided loss in Edmonton on Friday. And then you come home and get drilled by Dallas 7-4.
That was a must-win kind of game.
You know, if you wanted to be in the mix for the division, I guess, you know, for sure. And, you know, it's one of these things where these were important games.
They are.
You can't, like, we did this with the Nuggets last week, right? People were like, hey, big game against the Suns. Oh, you lose. Well, that doesn't matter. It's all about Friday. It's like, oh, well, you got your butt kicked on Friday. Well, nothing matters. And it's like,
they're just not ready, right?
What matters and what doesn't? These games did matter. Yeah. They were for the taking in terms of, I mean, shoot, the Avs might get threatened on home ice in the first round.
They're going to need, they got four games left.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that they're going to need to win three out of the four.
Okay.
If they can win three out of the four, they'll get home ice. They need to win three out of four, and I think that they should be playing every single game, these last four games, like it's a playoff game. We need that home ice, Zach.
I just didn't think we'd be talking about home ice with four games left in the regular season with the freaking Colorado Avalanche.
It's the drama. It's the drama. This is what we pay for. This is why we sit our butts on that couch to see things like this.
Georgie, let's talk about it. I mean, he was really hard to watch against Edmonton on Friday. I mean, just flat out hard to watch.
Which is interesting, man, because it's like, okay, you got pulled from a game this is your turn to kind of show us that everything is to the side. I want to prove myself. It didn't happen.
No.
It didn't happen.
It did not. And this was the game after he got pulled, yeah, right? And threw the puck. And so this was the bounce back in Edmonton on Friday night. And all that happened is he gave up 6 goals on 47 shots. Now, yesterday, if you just look at the final score, you say, okay, Georgie was bad again. Not necessarily the case. Yeah. Did he help himself enough as you would like? Maybe not, but it wasn't to pin last night on Georgie. If you watch defensively, the Avs left a lot to be desired.
They got
to
tighten up. There's been a few games where I watched and they tightened up and it's like, okay, this looks like some good hockey, right? Everybody's flying around, defense is playing well, and then it helps Georgiev out. Now Georgiev feeds off of that. But right now, the last 2 games, the defense has not played well. And it's like, where are you guys at? And yeah, I know sometimes it hurts us because the way of our style is fast-paced, scoring. So it's just different than sitting back and being heavy on the defensive side. But still, man, everybody gets paid to do their job. Those defensemen, they're not doing their job to the fullest of their ability. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, they're just not. And I think they would tell you that. And if they wouldn't, just ask Jared Bednar.
I thought he was great tonight. I did.
And I should set that up better. He's being asked about Georgie. And this is what he said.
I thought he was great tonight. I did. I think, you can't fault him on any of the goals. I think there probably one that he liked back was the one that squeaked through him on the quick slip to the middle in the power play. But, I mean, he was good. I mean, we just, the quality, well, and quantity, like the defending breakdowns that we had, we did some dumb stuff today. And they all led to, like, really good scoring chances against. And then, you know, we got beat off the walls a few times, created some more scoring chances against. And, you know, we looked like for a while there in the game, we were leaving early without the puck, and they played underneath us, checked the puck back, and got some good scoring chances too. But all in all, I thought he had a good night. We just weren't good enough defensively.
Yeah, so you got a couple different things in consecutive games happening. A night, yeah, where Georgie just doesn't have it. The next night where he, you know, on paper looks like he didn't have it, but defensively just disjointed. And, you know,
Do we have a goalie controversy going on
here? I thought we settled this. But you would have to be the most optimistic person ever. I don't know if controversy is the right word.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, like, dude, if you are pretending like this isn't happening and what is happening, I'll let you fill in the blank, whether it's controversy, is it concern, is it panic? I don't know what to quantify it as, but it's something. And to act like it's not something with 4 games left, man, you gotta just have blinders on and have, you know, burgundy and blue glasses, yeah, on to think that this could not be a reason why the Avs don't get out of fill in the blank round.
Yeah, I mean, look. When I'm listening to Bednar talk up there on the podium, he wants Georgiev, right? He wants Georgiev to be the number one goalie. So he's going to give him every single chance he can. And also, he's going to protect him. And I know when you're watching the games, it's true. The defense is not good. But also, he knows that I can't sit here and continue to put down Georgiev when I know that I'm going to play him in the playoffs. Like, I don't want Onanen to be our number one goalie. It's just not going to happen. And in Bednar's head, I just think it's never going to happen. It doesn't matter how well Onanen does, even in these last 4 games or whenever he plays, if he plays this next one or not, it's not going to matter because Bednar wants Georgiev to be the man.
Very interesting. So you think he's doing a little psychological stuff there? But like, do not pin this for a second on Georgie.
For sure. That's what it kind of sounds like to me.
That's not crazy. And it certainly wouldn't be the first time that a coach is trying to, through the media, sort of either build up a guy or protect a guy.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Defensively, they got to get better. And I'll tell you this. It starts with Cale Makar and Toews. Josh Mantz. I mean, you can go down the list. You watch that game last night. It's like, and even if they're like 90% in place, it's like, well, you got beat by that 10%. You know who is like that? And it came to my mind last night watching the game was Isaac Yadam. Yeah, from Boston College, yep, a corner, yep, was your teammate. There was so oftentimes he was like 90% there.
Dude, I know.
And it's just like, dude, you're right there, and it's just not 100%.
Tell me about it, man. We would talk about it all the time. I'm like, there was a game, it was against the Chargers, and he was in the right position, right time, hands and everything, and Mike Williams still caught the ball. And it's like, what do you do? You know what I mean? You can't be mad at him. He's there.
Yeah.
He's there. He's just not making the play. And it's like, man, Ike must have some bad luck.
It's that last 10%
yes.
at the pro level. And I bizarrely thought of him last night, your former teammate. Well, we'll see, man. We will see. It's the defense is a concern. The goaltending is a concern. So here we go, man. Time is short, both Nuggets and Avs, and they have a very different feeling about each team right now. Yeah. And we'll circle back and rank our concern level with just four games left in the regular season. But in the meantime, now that it's over, how will we look back upon one of the largest singular impacts that sports has ever seen? That's next.
Hold up. Whoa, 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 whoa. Get out the way.
How often does one person have an impact on an entire sport where the entire sport is just winning? I mean, that's what Caitlin Clark did to the women's basketball on the college level here these last 2 years. And the train has arrived at the station. The Caitlin Clark phenomenon has come to a close after her Hawkeyes lost to a just juggernaut.
They're dominant, man.
Of a South Carolina team.
Those girls on South Carolina, they got some ballers, man. A freshman, you know, she went for like 19 points.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they had some women over there, man.
Dude, they had someone come off the bench in the Final Four and grab 20 rebounds. Off the bench. Like, it just ridiculous depth. And ultimately, I believed that South Carolina was going to win that game and put it out there, did like a Twitter video and everything with a pick,
yeah.
And they ended up pulling away because of that depth. They just wore down and outlasted Iowa.
Shout out Dawn Staley.
Oh, my gosh. She is putting together one of the most legendary coaching resumes of all time.
I think Kern may be the only one that's kind of like her, identical to her, Zach, when it comes to playing, because you have to remember, she played.
She was a
star. I
did
a little research on it. She was a star. She got drafted in the first round, 9th pick.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, was six-time All-Star,
yes.
All that, you know?
Yes.
Now, I don't think, you know, Kerr from the Warriors, the coach right there, he wasn't an All-Star, was he?
Not an All-Star. He was just a really solid starter for a very long time.
He won championships. She's won championships playing. He's won championships playing. She's won championships coaching. He's won championships coaching. Who else is like that?
Well, you know, this dominant, like, you can find coaches through the years that won championships as a player and then had a lot of success coaching. Even if they did, like Phil Jackson was the first name that came to mind. He won, I think, two championships with the Knicks in the 70s, becomes a coach. But that's rare because Phil was not a star. You know, Dawn Staley was a star.
Yeah.
And then is now starring in her role as a coach and putting together a resume that's like, oh my gosh,
she's a great coach.
She is. She's going down as a legendary coach. She's going down as a legendary coach. And I really appreciated her words after the game. And we'll play those here in just a second. But I was thinking, man, like this was so legendary. This was so unique. This is such a window in time that we'll be talking about to like, Phil, and maybe your daughter many, many years from now about like the Caitlin Clark phenomenon. And on Friday night, holy mackerel, Phil, on Friday night, I got home and watched that game against UConn. We were at opening day and made it home in time to watch most of that game. And it averaged, Phil, 14 million viewers.
That's wild.
14 million. It peaked at 17 million viewers. There was not one game in the World Series that it didn't dominate. There was not one game in the NBA Finals. Denver Nuggets, Miami Heat. It performed well from a rating standpoint and didn't perform as well as this Final Four game. This is one that was shocking to me. The game on Friday night, which was a non-championship game, Final Four, big-time game, obviously, it outperformed every Masters final round since 2013. And why that stuck out for me is in 2019, Tiger Woods came back and won the freaking Masters in like the most dramatic, unbelievable fashion. And it felt like at that time, everyone was running to a television to watch this. And it didn't even come close to what Friday night Caitlin Clark and Iowa against UConn did. Didn't even come close.
That was some good basketball. Those women's put on a show, Zach. They did. And that's why I can't stand by leading it up to the, like, you left it up to the referees to call a foul. It may have been a foul, Zach, but 3 seconds left. 3 seconds left. Just let it go. Just let it go.
You want to know what? The part I didn't like about that narrative is because it becomes what it gets reduced down to, and it's such a big call in that moment. I understand why it happens.
Yeah.
For me, it was like, yo, UConn had a 12-point fourth quarter lead and blew it. 12 points. And then you know, the call kind of overshadows it because of the time, score, and situation there. But I'm thrilled for the game.
Yeah.
I've shared with you, I have not been some like women's college basketball fan. This demanded my attention. And I am better for it. This has been hysterically fun, from the LSU rivalry to UConn, and then now other players are benefiting from Caitlin Clark's elevated limelight and stage, the Paige Beckers, the Juju Watkins, Angel Reese is a star of her own, but everyone's benefiting. And I just could not believe the television rating that did on a Friday night.
No, that was great, man. And Caitlin Clark has done some great things to help these women out, to help this game out. But also it sheds light on not just Caitlin Clark, but there's so many talented women out there that we would have never even got to see and watch.
Yes.
Right? Like you said, the Jujus and stuff. And now everybody's going to start tuning into them.
Right.
Because it's like, we got to see them.
Yep.
We know that they're ballers, and that any given day, I don't care if you're a boy or girl, if you go to the rec, you're not beating none of those women.
Oh.
You're going to get dunked on. I'm waiting for the day somebody decides the things that they can beat up on one of those women.
Oh, my gosh.
In a one-on-one game.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope that they record it.
Dude.
I hope they record it.
The average star at your 24-hour fitness would not,
the average star.
Would not play. Is not one of the 10 best players on that court.
No.
And to your point, like Camila Cardoso, I didn't know who that was. I don't know who that is.
She's a beast.
She is a beast. She grabbed 17 rebounds, 6'7", from South Carolina.
She declared for the draft.
Good for her, man.
Yeah.
Good for her. So, all right, here's the truth. During the last 10 minutes, the number came out for Saturday's national championship game, but we don't know it.
No, we don't.
Drew has it behind the glass, and this has been coming out during our show. This already happened like last week. I forget exactly. So we have the number for Friday night, 14 million viewers.
With the peak of 17,
with
right?
the peak of 17.
Okay.
Do we have the peak or do we just have the average?
We've got the peak on this one as well.
So you have both?
I have both.
Okay. Let's just go with the average. Let's just go with the average for right now. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I will.
Go ahead.
Because if not, you'll cry. let's see here. 14 million with UConn in Iowa.
Yep.
This is the big tuna versus South Carolina that's undefeated. Caitlin Clark. All right, trying to win her first national championship, her last game.
Yep.
Dawn Staley trying to put her back-to-back. I think she won last year's national championship.
It was 2 years ago.
2 years, okay.
Yeah, because LSU won it last year and beat Iowa in the championship.
Okay, so, woo-wee, this probably did numbers. I'm going to sit here and say that there were 27.5 million people that viewed that game.
Whoa! All right, I think that's way too big. I'll go with...
It's in the 20s.
You think it hit 20?
Oh,
well,
for sure.
Obviously, you just picked 27. I'll go. I think it jumped from 14 million viewers. It's a Saturday. It was on ABC, I think. That's network TV.
So everybody can watch it.
Yeah. My mom can watch it. Buffalo, no cable.
Yes.
I'll go with 20 million. I'm just going to go a round number. I'll go with 20 million. Drew, all right. What is it?
Well, Phil's way high. Zach's just a little bit high. 18.7 million people watched, double what it was last year. The national championship game last year, LSU Iowa, 9.9 million viewers. Now this thing peaked at 24 million viewers.
Okay. Wow.
Now,
oh my gosh.
That wasn't way high for the peak.
Not for the peak.
Okay. No. But excluding football and the Olympics, this is the most watched sporting event since 2019.
Oh my God. I was thinking this morning, and I know we got to go, but I want to get this thought out, so we'll go a second long here. I was thinking this morning, and yesterday. When is the last time an American athlete had tens of millions, not just millions, tens of millions gather around their television set in a way that they otherwise would not? So Super Bowl, we're going to watch Super Bowl no matter who's in it. Tens of millions of people gathering around a television in a way that they otherwise would not. It's not like we threw out Zion a couple weeks ago. Zion's not even close. Zion's ACC title game. ACC title game is there for 1 year. This is at the end after the hype has been built up.
Yeah.
4 million people watched. It's not even in the stratosphere. You know who it is? I'll tell you next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.